In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is the gospel appointed for this Sunday, selected verses from the 9th chapter of the gospel according to St. John. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And then at verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened." And then at verse 34. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. Perspective matters. Consider three different views of the Grand Canyon. The atheist artist looks out over the Grand Canyon and offers, "My, Mother Nature certainly has painted a beautiful picture here." A Wells pastor looking out over the Grand Canyon for the first time in 1979, I said, "Look at the glorious works of God in his creation and through the flood." A cowboy might ride down into the middle of the Grand Canyon and wonder, "What a horrible place to lose a cow." So how you look at things makes a difference. That is true when it comes to disability. Take blindness, for example. There are some people, even some blind people, who would not consider their blindness a disability at all and would be quite upset with you if you suggested that. They would look upon it as something that's part of living, and they're making the very best of it, and they and you should not look at it as something limiting in any way. On the other end of the spectrum, there may be a person who is quite depressed about his blindness or her blindness, might consider it something horrible in life and impossible in life to deal with, and just is struggling mightily against it as a terrible cross to bear. John's description of Jesus healing the blind man gives us a third option. Jesus said, "This man is blind. This happened so the works of God might be displayed in him." Pay attention with me this morning to that miracle of Jesus healing the blind man as the light of the world dispels human blindness. We see, first of all, that the radiant power of God's love makes the blind see. And secondly, that the radiant power of God's word makes the blind believe. Jesus and his disciples came upon a man blind from birth. He was on the street begging. This in itself addresses the sad state of love and affairs among the Jews of Jesus' day, because according to the law, no such person was to be left begging. The people were to take care of those kinds of people for the express purpose that they wouldn't have to beg. But here was this blind man left on his own to beg on the streets. Jesus' disciples expressed a common false idea that not a few people believe today, that suffering and disability are really punishment for some particular sin. And they expressed that to Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or God, that he was born blind?" Jesus would have none of it. Jesus would not allow his disciples to continue under that false belief. First, that God punishes sin. God doesn't punish sin because he punished Jesus. But that God somehow, things that happen to us directly in life are specific results of a specific punishment for a specific sin. But Jesus quickly and lovingly corrected them. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Far from being a coincidence, this meeting of Jesus and this man had been already set into motion in God's eternal plan. The wheels for this miracle had been set in motion years and years ago when this Jewish couple had a little baby boy, and that baby boy was born blind. Now the boy had grown into a man. And now the Creator, the all-powerful God, in the radiance of his love, would heal that man's blindness. He would do his works to give this blind man his sight. The radiant power of God's love make the blind to see. Here we have and run into one of our Savior's great I am statements in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "So long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." With the creating power of that's his as God's, that said, "Let there be light," at creation, the Son of God opened the blind man's eyes so that the light of the sun and the light of the things around him could come into his eyes and he could see them. The Old Testament had said that that was one of the things that the Messiah would do. That would be one of the ways to identify him. The blind would see. Jesus never did any of his miracles, including his healing miracles, simply for the sake of helping someone. Although we certainly say that it helped everybody that he did miracles for, didn't it? But the reason Jesus did miracles was to manifest his power and his love as God, as the promised Messiah, the Christ, to come into the world. That same power and love, that same radiant love, that same glorious power is what put Jesus on the cross. That enabled him to suffer and die, bearing our sins, to ransom us from the power of our sin, to ransom us from the fear of death, to ransom us from an eternal separation from him in hell. Jesus shows here, even as he manifests himself as true God, how true the words of the psalmist in Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. It is no less a miracle when Jesus heals us from our illnesses than it was a miracle for Jesus, by the radiant power of his love, to give his sight to that blind man. When God, through his power and his love, heals our illnesses, heals our diseases, fixes us from broken bones through medicine and doctors, it is no less a miracle of his radiant love. I'm thinking particularly this morning of a young Wells helicopter pilot who was badly burned and injured in a helicopter crash at Fort Campbell recently. He's still in the hospital, but they've removed all of the braces, they've taken out all of the tubes, and it looks like the young man is going to recover pretty near fully. The blind still gain their sight by the radiant power of God's love, as through the knowledge and skill he gives, doctors remove cataracts so that the blind can see. Doctors still do miraculous things for people like me that have glaucoma. The things that they can do so that I don't go blind by the power of God's radiant love, that I will not and others will not lose our vision. Jesus' miracle of healing the blind man caused quite a stir among the Pharisees. There were those that were upset because, not because Jesus had helped somebody, but because he had helped somebody on the Sabbath. He had worked and done something on the Sabbath. They were more concerned with the outward appearance of keeping the law and their righteousness than they were that some poor man who had not been able to see his whole life now had his sight. But others, thinking about it, looking at it, said, this man that healed him has got to be special. No sinner would have that kind of power. No sinner would be able to do that. And so what always happens when Jesus is proclaimed and does his work, it always happens among people, so they were divided. Some rejected Jesus. Some recognized him as something special. There is so much more here, though, isn't there, than a blind man receiving his physical sight. It's the great miracle that the radiant power of God's word makes people believe. I hope you noticed the great similarity and parallel between this miracle and our gospel lesson last Sunday. You all remember what that was. The gospel lesson last Sunday, where Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. Both she and the man born blind needed enlightenment to see Jesus as their Savior. And Jesus, remember, preached the word of God to her, as he did to the man born blind. in almost exactly the same words. He said, well, you've seen him. The one standing here talking to you is the Messiah, is the Savior. And the Holy Spirit, working through that word, created faith in that woman's heart and created faith in the blind man's heart. Jesus asked him, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he said, well, who is it? Tell me. And Jesus said, the one you see is he. The one who's talking to you is your Savior. And the man said in his new faith, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And the word worship there indicates bowing down your knee to God. So that man, by doing that, acknowledged that he believed Jesus was God, that Jesus is his Savior, as he bowed down and worshiped him. We thank God for the radiant power of his word that has ended for us the darkness of unbelief and brought us into the light of faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now we see Jesus not only as the one who heals our diseases, but also heals us from our sins. We call him Lord. We bow down the knee and worship him, acknowledging Jesus Christ as God. We call on his name and he answers us. Jesus went to his cross to heal us from that terrible, terrible corruption and that terrible crippledness of our sin that keeps us from loving him the way we should, that keeps us from loving our brothers and sisters and our parents and our children and each other as we should. Sin is a terribly crippling disease of our souls and spirits. It is darkness. And Paul says, put off the deeds of darkness. Don't walk anymore as if you were in unbelief. But as we sang, walk as the children of light. Live in that light of forgiveness and that light of faith. Walk in that light of Jesus Christ, who calls us to love his Father and to love each other without condition as he has loved us. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. What Jesus is really saying there is, I come with the judgment. I come with the determination that if somebody recognizes that they are blind spiritually, I will come to them with the gospel and I will give them the light of faith to see. But those who take pride in their own self-righteousness, those who reject me as the light of the world, they are the ones who will be blind. They will the one are the ones who really cannot see. We see our healing physically. We see our faith. We see our redemption as the wonderful works of the radiant power of God's word. Perception really matters when you look at Jesus. Those who look at Jesus as unnecessary are as blind as that atheist artist who looked at the Grand Canyon and thought that Mother Nature just brought that about kind of by accident. But those who look upon Jesus Christ as the light of the world, we have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and we see our salvation no less than the Grand Canyon, as the creation of God's hands, of the creation of the radiant power of his love and his power. Most of all, as we view our saving faith in Christ as the way God displays his work in our lives, we give glory and honor to him. for that great blessing. And, as we heard in our hymn, we walk as the children of life. As Paul exhorts us, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them. We do not look upon or view our crosses and our difficulties as punishment for sin, because we know that God has punished Jesus for our sins. But rather we look upon them as opportunities for God to do his works in our lives. With God's gracious touch upon our spiritual blindness, we see. We see, and the sight is glorious. Like that beggar, and like the Samaritan woman, we see Jesus, the Son of God, and we repeat his words and his actions. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Amen.